Let's get it popping. Young World.
What's good?
This is the one and only Zoe.
I'm Mark.
And you are listening to A-Rap Music. I'm joking.
It's lit.
Is it ready for real?
Yeah.
You're not listening to A-Rap Music.
This just feels beautiful.
Okay, so there's a lot going on.
Seriously, Vic Mensa never lied, bro.
No, he never. I mean, I don't think he ever lied. Well, everybody's faves are problematic.
Yeah.
Okay, so he could have lied. And speaking of problematic faves, the one and only Magnolia Projects, Louisiana, NOLA.
Holly Grove,
sorry.
We so bad about it.
Lil Wayne, Weezy, whatever you want to call this man, Dwayne Carter. Tunchi, etc., has lost his mind.
Oh, poor Wayne.
And so he was on Nightline.
As we all...
There you go. You just sighed.
Sadly heard.
And he was doing an interview, of course. This is a question that people have been asked for years now about Black Lives Matter. They keep asking people. And that's even more of the reason why he should have had more than enough time to prepare. Like, do people have publicists? Like, is that a thing anymore? Is that a job? It's not a job?
Okay. Go ahead. Just tell the people. Because I can't.
So he was on Nightline. The interviewer very kindly, very reasonably asked him, you know, what his thoughts were on Black Lives Matter movement. And he first was like, what are you talking about? What are you saying to me? Like, that doesn't make sense. Long story short, he went on to say he does not agree with Black Lives Matter. His life matters because he's rich and black and white people are filming him. And he don't give a fuck about what does not concern him because he's rich and he's black. And that's really the end
of it. His life matters to his
bitches. His life matters to, right, especially to his bitches, he said. Discuss.
It's scary. Like, first off, I'm praying for him because literally he is out his mind. He's on drugs. Yeah.
No, that's true. I mean, but one, I just want to separate that though, because there are people who are out here on drugs who are
functional.
Okay. And saying something. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to like just demonize drugs, but I also don't know what drugs he on, to be honest, because that can't just be weed.
No, it's lean.
Yeah, there gotta be it's some more other stuff.
Whatever concoction that he's on. I'm just... Because I don't want to make excuses for him. Because, right. You know, like, the crazy part is, it's like we're dealing with somebody who's outwardly... I don't want to say bipolar in a sense, because that's, like, not... But in one breath, like, he's made songs about this. Like, literally made songs about it. And then the next breath is like, after the first time he said something and undisputed, he recanted his statement saying, you know, he wasn't whatever what his excuse was. And then he did this again, and his excuse was that she asked about how he depicts women in his music and how would he feel if somebody did that about his daughter. And right. That's what he got on the defensive.
Right.
And that's his excuse. But,
I don't think it's a good enough excuse. I feel like, one, I mean, I don't know if he has mental health issues. If he does, I mean, I want to excuse him for that. But I don't think he has mental health issues. And I also don't think that he's been in the game for a long time. Perhaps if it was somebody who was a novice and you didn't really know how to navigate an interview.
Yeah.
And you were like, somebody was like saying something about your daughter, you got flustered. Okay, cool. But then... You've been in the game for well over 15 years. You have an idea of how to respond to certain situations, and then why throw Black Lives Matter under the bus because you're mad because somebody asked you about justifiably misogynist lyrics. Because clearly when it came time to ask whether Black Lives Matter, you said your life matters especially to your bitches. So clearly you make you have lyrics about women that are not flattering.
Right.
And if somebody said that about your daughter, this is a that's also a question as old as time.
Right.
How do you respond to that? Like, you need to do better. People need publicists. He definitely don't have to get off drugs or whatever he's doing that's affecting him.
Yeah, because we don't know how these seizures are affecting his brain. Yes. And then you're continuing to take these drugs. And it only... And you don't get high off the same drugs you were getting high off 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even last year. You know what I'm saying? You have to up the dosage eventually. And I feel like it's catching up to him. Nobody's... We always watch our celebrities go too far. And I feel like he's at that level. Like, I don't want to say he's at a Whitney level, but, like, in terms of our artists getting hooked on these drugs and nobody necessarily jumping in to intervene, like, this is the point. If anybody who's around him that needs to intervene, this would be it now. Like, I feel like y'all need to do it now. Because it's detrimental.
Well, T.I. reached out in an open letter. Did you see that?
Yeah. How'd you feel about that?
I respected it because, as you said, if this is the time to reach out, like, this is somebody reaching out in love. I felt like this was different than what we talked about last week as far as doing something outside of music, because I feel like things should be done. The apology or the situation has to be rectified publicly if the mistake was made publicly. And because Lil Wayne did that publicly, I felt like it was T.I.'s responsibility to respond publicly. And I really do feel like it was in love. It wasn't like, oh, I don't know this dude. Our kids don't play together. Like, it wasn't one of those.
Oh, goodness.
It was, our kids actually do play together, and I've been in jail, and you've been in jail. Like, he humbled himself to say, I know what you're going through, I know what you've been through, and our kids share something, and my kids respect you as an artist. Right. We both are in the same industry, and we both know what's going on. For you to say otherwise is not a good role model for my children, and is also not helpful to what we're trying to do as a community, especially as rappers, because we've also talked about that as far as conscious rap, as far as the role of Black music in our liberation. And so I feel like T.I. was the best person to say it. Obviously, Baby wasn't going to say no kind words about you. Right. Know what I mean? Like, who did he have that has
the voice, the platform?
The platform has been with him through thick and thin. It's not a subordinate of his. Like, Drake obviously could have done it, but he brought Drake in, so I don't know if he has, like, the same weight. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. There are some people who felt like he should have done it behind closed doors and then been like, yo, I spoke to my bro, and this is, like, he's with us, like, he was tripping, blah, blah, blah. Like, had all that after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, which, okay, I get it. Like, it's an approach. But sometimes you need to get that. It depends. Sometimes, depending on the approach, is how people will receive it. So, I feel like it was a great approach on the side of it's going to get publicly denounced, and to people who think like BLM is a sham, like, that he's like, no, this, he's wrong, and I feel like that was appropriate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, on a personal level, I feel like, like, now he's saying, he's tweeted, F y'all.
You know, tweeted this?
Wayne.
Okay.
So it's clearly he didn't receive it well, but we'll see how that pans out over the next couple of days. Maybe they'll have another private conversation or something. Knowing T.I., especially for whatever happens with this election, which, guys, we recorded before, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And, I mean, I get it as far as, especially Lil Wayne's fans, I'm sure, and fans of T.I., they were probably the most conflicted about
Definitely.
It. But you also have to remember that in this situation, Lil Wayne himself is not the victim. It's the people who are affected by Black Lives Matter and support Black Lives Matter. So T.I.'s comments were to the people who have taken this as offense.
Right.
he can't come to us each privately and be like, what Lil Wayne said was trash. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has to say that in the public space. And of course, people will want a friendship thing to happen, like if it was something that happened between them. Mm-hmm. If it was T.I. that was offended, of course he can be like, okay, I spoke to Wayne, we squashed our beef.
Yeah,
this is not beef between T.I. and Wayne, it's the beef between the whole black community right. and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I get what people saying, but as you said, it makes more sense to do it for the people.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the culture. This is for the culture.
It's us a roast.
Yeah, like, come on now. So, I mean, Lil Wayne not being receptive to it is not necessarily surprising. I do hope that he comes around to see the error of his ways and makes a real apology, not no, you know, if y'all were mad or if I hurt anybody, because I hate...
You know!
I hate the ifs. You know what I mean?
No, I hate those type of apologies.
I hate this. So I hope he does come around and really can apologize and can have the conversation that he needs. I hope he does not go on Ayanna so she can ruin his life even more. I hope he does not give us a whole Nate Parker, black people not supporting me because I did wrong type thing. Like, I hope he makes a full grown man reconciliation with us, with himself, with his children, with the people who looked up to him, with the people who are fans of his. I'm a fan of his. I think he's great.
He's literally one of my one of my dearest legends. Yeah. So for you to like, and that's another thing T.I. said, like, you tarnishing your legacy.
Yes.
Like, that's the number one thing, because it's like, dang, like, I love you, but you can't, like, I feel like it's a personal relationship. And as a fan, I'm hurt, because it's like, really, like, you were that tight, you couldn't get up and walk out.
Right.
Like, you had so many other options to just be like, yo, you could have cursed her out.
Right.
Like, why did you have to direct it to us? Like, bro.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. And our faves are problematic. But this week has also been a highlight for black people.
Yeah.
Beyonce, the one and only Beyonce, who needs no introduction,
had especially on this podcast,
had an opportunity to perform her country song on the CMAs, the country song from her genre-bending album,
Daddy Lessons.
Lemonade. Daddy Lessons, yes. She performed Daddy Lessons on the Country Music Awards with the Dixie Chicks, who are my faves. Like, come on, like, fan out.
But
y'all know.
Yes, but you have to preface it with this, because...
Oh, I mean, well, yeah, she performed. The performance was absolutely flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, vocally, the harmonies were crazy, because, I mean, between the Dixie Chicks and Destiny's Child and En Vogue, who else is going to give you harmonies that are going to destroy your life? Yeah. Clark Sisters.
Right.
Okay, Take Six. Okay, I mean, it's a very small group of
very
people.
Small.
Like, let's be real. but the harmonies were incredible. I mean, visually, it was amazing, because I truly believe with all my heart, given all that we've seen and all that we've heard, Beyonce is literally taking her own camera crew and producers and workers and audio engineers and everything to these live television award shows. Because Legends Only?
She did that in the MTV Awards.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how? Like, once I saw the angles, because I didn't see the angles any other place in the show, mm-hmm. I'm like, Beyonce is producing the hell out of this, and those are probably her people because of the way the lights were. Because they were, like, vintage. You know how she's doing that now?
Mm-hmm.
To make you feel like you're in, like, this ethereal experience, some other Soul Train-like world.
I love it, because she's banking on the nostalgia.
Bruh. It is beyond right now, and mm-hmm. I'm so enjoying it, but perhaps we were the only ones who enjoyed it.
You knew. First off, how dare we, according to the white Twitter community, walk up, have Beyonce perform her country song on the Country Music Awards. Her successful album with the Dixie Chicks, because, you know, white people don't like the Dixie Chicks no more.
No, they don't believe in them.
They don't. So, they like, first off, you took our awards, and then, I'm not gonna be offensive and have a fake country accent, but
you but white people ain't telling people country accents. But continue. Sorry.
But okay.
Sorry. Yes.
This is my point.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Continue.
But how are y'all really?
Bruh. Okay. So first, let's start about how they originally. I saw reports that she was opening the show. Has she opened the show?
Which was a ploy to bring in our viewership.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You already know.
Go ahead. Continue.
No, you knew. Point two. 2 hours into the show, y'all have the biggest star on the absolute planet.
Right.
Performing. Y'all announced her multiple times, making sure people tune in. Y'all got ratings that y'all have never seen
ever
before.
Because
regardless of
Melanin
Darling,
always
Reba,
brings
Loretta, Garth, Keith, Faith. Regardless of all of them, y'all never got these awards. Leanne, Carrie, shall I continue? Taylor, y'all never got these views. Y'all never got these ratings until Beyonce, Giselle, Knowles Carter showed up to y'all awards show in full form, in perfect form, and did the Super Saiyan on country music and reminded y'all, this was what got me when I saw on Twitter, and I knew they were going to do it because white people do a lot just because they feel offended when we call them out on appropriation. They try to look for ways to call us out on appropriation, but we never appropriate it.
Fiend for appropriation. How can we appropriate something we started?
Okay. You knew. You already knew. And just to be clear, we did not have this discussion prior.
No.
So you already know what it is. Clearly, we started country music way before the 1920s, before they say the start of country music.
Oh, yeah. Like, y'all want to talk about folk music. Right. Did we talk about that before?
Okay.
What episode?
You got it. You already got it. We started every form of American music that exists today. And, I mean, of course, not to say that they don't accept any black artists in country music, but they absolutely, it is almost exclusively white.
Almost?
And male. And so they definitely did not want Beyonce to be a part of it. And she was. And there was nothing you can do to stop it because she's Beyonce. And except for they ended up deleting all of her, any trace of her as a part of the award show. Like,
Trash.
It didn't happen. Like, the world didn't know.
In 2016, where we screenshot, record illegally. Like, what is you doing? And then you're going to try to come back and be like, actually, we sorry. We didn't do it. But actually, here we go. We're going to put the video back up. And we didn't mean to offend y'all.
Right. Okay. They'll talk about, our viewers were being racist. And y'all should handle them.
Right. What did guys do with her? And all her grace, beauty. And flawlessness.
And perfection. Okay. Literal perfection. Because those belts, though.
So sad. Okay. So sad. Y'all, and don't even worry. Because once you mess up Beyonce coming on a country music award, all black persons checked out. We left a long time ago.
They don't want us. You know, an interesting thing, though, just to show that this is not she's not perpetrating. Beyonce actually produced Daddy Lessons herself.
Right.
Like, that is the only record on Lemonade that she is the sole producer of.
But, and this is my thing. She's from Texas.
That too.
Why y'all keep forgetting that?
I mean, because they don't consider it like...
Oh, because it's not Nashville?
I mean, not only because of Nashville, because the country people love Texas, but she's from Houston, and she's from the third ward in Houston, where it's predominantly middle-class black. And it's not like, you know, I mean, black people live in the country,
yes.
In mass, you know what I mean? But they feel like it's two separate type of countries.
Sounds familiar. Separate but equal. Where did I hear that before?
And so they don't really receive Beyonce's Houston-citified country as country, but obviously she is country, and she did produce that record, and she did have the twang, and she did have the soul, and the bluesy aspects, and it was just an incredible record, and she performed it. But, she made it, and it was flawless, and too bad they didn't like it.
Trash.
But, you know, regarding production in itself, outside of Beyonce producing that record, production in general, right now, I think is very different than back in the day.
I think that right now, in terms of production, mm-hmm. it's influential on a bigger level than, like, we realize. Like, sure. You know, people like to say the tags, like, if you're Metro, don't trust you, right. I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
Zaytoven, all the different ones. Like, you guys can give us your favorite tags, right. production tags, but I think that that makes a song, and especially knowing Beyonce produced her whole like people really forget.
Yeah, I mean, well, she's been around music pretty much all her life, and it would actually be kind of a crime for her not to learn every aspect right. of music if that's what you're going to do. That's one of the things I feel like Beyonce has shown us outside of everything that she's given us, just that if you are going to do something for a living, you need to know every aspect of it. I mean, the fact that she, you know, records her own videos, or can, she can record her own videos, she can direct them, she can style, she can art direct, she can record herself.
Right.
I mean, like, she can play the instruments that she plays, guitar, piano, like, she does what she does. And she's really, I believe she inspires people to be a jack of all trades. And a lot of producers are, if you think about it, like a lot of the producers who are the known ones, like a Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Timbaland. You know what I mean?
Ugh, like, we don't even have to go into the discography for that. Like,
seriously. Like, I mean, you are the jack of all trades if you're going to be into music in that way as a producer, Quincy Jones, if you're mm-hmm. gonna be super throwback,
really,
you know what I mean, like a composer producer,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
even like Prince, like, I mean, everybody yes! wants to talk about how much he
yeah
played every instrument.
He's the most iconic, well, not the most iconic, but he
is up there.
I mean, all of his groups, Vanity and The Time, and like all of this, he produced the hell out of a lot of records and was an insane writer.
I'm just
bored. Who are some of your favorite producers from the 90s, at least? Because, you know, we always talk about the 90s. Who are some of your favorite producers from the 90s, whether it be R&B or hip-hop or whatever?
I would probably be like, ugh, I feel like I'm going to sound like a hip-hop head. Like, every episode how much I love Gangstar. So, like,
okay.
Obviously, Primo.
Yeah.
Dilla, of course. Okay. That's pretty much like from 90s music. I mean, yeah. Timbaland, we already said.
I was about to say, what?
Yeah, no, definitely okay. Timbo. Maybe, yeah, those are the most that I can enjoy yeah. them. Like, not saying that there's not a lot that yeah. I can't think of any right now.
You're
but
be
like,
so mad when I say this.
Cool.
So
say it.
Diddy, of course.
Oh, I'm such an idiot.
I think he's gonna be mad when I said it.
How could I forget?
I mean, Diddy obviously killed
Dr. Dre.
Every aspect of music, Dr. Dre as well, mostly hip hop, but he was a beast.
Yeah.
Is a beast, I should say.
Definitely.
Dark Child 99.
Dark
Child 99. Say my name. Dark Child did Tony too. I mean, Dark Child was everywhere.
Bruh.
So go ahead.
No, that's what I was gonna say. That's the thing about production. Like, yeah. we don't even notice how much it influences our lives.
Yeah. I mean, but I think a part of, so a lot of, in the 90s in particular, a lot of people started doing like the drop. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or they yep. started doing this tagging that we know now, and I think a part of that was to give a face, mm-hmm. a metaphorical face, you know, to the producer, because this is a pre-internet age. We're just yeah. listening to radio. You don't necessarily know what you're listening to. Yeah, you don't have
exactly.
that single.
Right.
And so who do you credit with making this incredible song? And they were like, I mean, these people are singing on it that y'all know, but I want y'all to know Mike Will made it. I mean, you know what I mean?
No, like, right. Just, I think that goes back to back, like, the DJ, like, when the DJs came up, and
yeah.
even though they had the MC,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, DJ such and such this song. Right, the beat, right. And then like it morphed into what it would be the drop.
Yeah.
And the producer, you know, they want to, some producers want to be the face or want you to know their signature.
Like Diddy. Was Diddy not in every aspect of anything Bad Boy ever did? I got tired of him, really.
Right.
I think that was like a thing. Before memes. Before Diddy would have certainly been a meme.
Oh.
Diddy would have been a meme.
I'm surprised he's not a meme as much as he was. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they get on my nerves sometimes. Right. Happy belated birthday, by the way. We did shout him out on Pass Me the Ox. But he was everywhere. And, I mean, it definitely helped build his brand. Mm-hmm. He is one of the most successful people in hip-hop to date. One of the wealthiest people in hip-hop.
True.
And it's largely because he built a brand where it was not hidden.
Mm-hmm.
He was synonymous with Bad Boy as much as a Biggie, as much as everyone that he produced, Total, Mary J. I mean, everybody. Carl. Anybody who was out at that time. And that Diddy had a hand in. Oh, we cannot forget. We cannot. God will not let me forget just because of my personal affinity for his entire life. Jermaine Dupri representing the South.
Bruh.
In Dallas.
So Death.
Dallas Austin.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, like, we just had such incredible producers at that time. I really do think that put their stamp on a lot of things. And I think at that time, a lot of people were producing albums in total.
Right.
Now it's become, especially with someone like a Beyonce, who is a huge artist right now, are using like a lot of different producers on the record.
True.
Do you feel that the production quality is the same? Do you feel like it is, does it have variation that we knew back in the day? Okay, this is a Scott Storch record, or this is a Dark Child record with those horns and those synths.
No, but that's true. I think in our time, like, I know for me, more in the 2000s, mm-hmm. at least, that's when I was like, oh, you know, if you hear Just Blaze, like, oh, yes, I'm going to enjoy this song. Or if you hear Scott Storch,
yeah,
you know the type of sounds that it has.
Yeah.
Or who was another one? Oh, even Kanye.
Yeah.
You know that the type of samples, how he cuts it up, you know that specific sound. Swiss Beats, you know. Immediately.
How did we forget? Swiss Beats.
Yo.
Bruh. Swiss kills. Showtime. I've never heard production like Swiss's.
Yeah.
I've never, like, still to this day, like, there are records that are just insane.
It's true.
Insane.
It's true.
Crazy insane.
It's true.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just in awe. Like, I don't think I realized it at that time. But he was phenomenal, and I mean, I'm just, yeah.
My number one Swiss track with his tags is, She Ain't Got No Money in the Bank.
Bruh.
She be walking around.
I can't do that.
I can't do that. Like how? I can't, you can never, it's hard. Yes. Between him and Tim,
yeah.
I just be like, wow.
Tim, I mean, I think Tim shined most, in my opinion, with Aaliyah.
Yeah.
He did
and
some.
And Missy.
Yes, with Missy, but Missy was also
helping.
Her
own, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, both of them together, we should credit both of them with
Missy,
shining, making
definitely.
Aaliyah shine.
Yeah.
Missy, of course. Are there any female producers out right now?
There probably are, but not
that
as influential.
That's not tagging, probably.
This is what we need.
Do.
We always insert stuff we need.
We really
and
do.
And God really gives it to us. First, we asked for Young and May, and we got her. So.
Come on, God. Yeah, we do. I mean, we need a lot more. My goal, of course, in every aspect of music is to have a more equitable arena. Because look how much money producers get. If you just have, I mean, of course, women writers,
mm-hmm.
if it's Esther Dean, if it's Sia,
mm-hmm.
it, whomever it is, are out here, like, getting their coin, Seven, Streeter.
Yep.
Like, they're definitely out here doing the work and getting money, and writers do get money, but I want someone in every aspect of music to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we need some more women who are producing, because Missy killed.
Yeah, do you think the sounds are diverse, though?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
As they were then?
Mm-hmm.
I think you get more diversity when there are unknowns. I feel like, I'll say that they are more diverse because there are more opportunities for people whom we never heard of to start coming out. I remember, and of course, we speak about Beyonce a lot on here, as you guys know. But I remember when Self-Titled came out, and people were like, who is this Boots guy who created this masterpiece of a record for Beyonce? Because his music was like so... Yep. Like, do you remember Haunted? Or do you remember Jealous?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just like... They were weird, remember. But they were lush.
That's so sad. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's already been 4 years?
Almost four. I mean, 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. They were very interesting. And... I mean, I'm seeing, obviously, a lot more people are going with styles. Mm-hmm. They produce based on styles. And so you will have people, like, making a trap record and using the elements that they think makes a trap record.
Right.
And so perhaps that doesn't give as much production value as we are used to from the 90s, where I feel like a lot of people... played instruments and didn't just play computer buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Like they played instruments so they knew, okay, I want to make this chord or I want to have this different type of progression with these random computer tools, but I actually know what I'm doing. And I'm not saying people don't know, but obviously we live in a more digital world now.
No, but there are people who don't know and admittedly don't know.
Wow.
I think that sometimes you can tell. Like, even, like, the Scott Storch, there was a video that went viral of him playing the piano with playing a compilation of his hits, like, Lean Back, Make It Rain. Like, that was, then when you hear, go back and listen to the songs, and you hear, like, wow, how did you even come up with that?
Yeah. And it was funny because growing up, we were told by the older people that this wasn't music because it wasn't just the piano. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was all these electronic sounds and beat machines and all that, and they were like, oh, this ain't music. This is just riff-raff. But they are really musical. Like, very musical.
Very.
I definitely think that we have opportunities to hear more. And so, in my mind, there's diversity, but whether or not there's diversity on the radio, I cannot say.
There is none. I'll tell you now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's diversity in radio, but
I'll listen to radio,
on Spotify, on, you know what I mean, on all of that, I can hear different ranges of music on SoundCloud. I hear different types of people and different styles of music that are coming up. And do you have like a favorite production of a song in recent years? I mean, like of this year rather, like you heard a song, you were just like, who produced this? I gotta know.
I think I do that to every song. That's why it's so hard. Because if I really like a song, I'm the type that I'm... If we still had CDs, I would be
reading
the credits. I still do that now. Like, I really will Google a song. And even though Wikipedia is not the most accurate, it's people go out their way to write the production credits. So that's what I look for.
Same. I mean, you know we both do. I mean, that's how we dissected Usher's record.
Right.
To see that it was trash. or why it was trash, rather. And Maxwell's record, too, which was also trash.
Yeah.
But we both look at those credits to see, okay, who is actually creating this. I will say, as far as Robin's record, Rihanna's record, there was some great production on there. I don't know who do you know who primarily worked on a record?
No.
Oh. I didn't look at the credits for that. I literally just
listened to it. I told you I barely listened to
it. I mean, I listened to it one time. And I mean, like I said, the great thing about now is that we do have that digital space. And you can hear what people are doing or what people are sounding like or the direction people are going in. Or even take it completely different because the young lady, I guess she would be considered a woman producer. The young lady who wrote Bitch Better Have My Money.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Rihanna would do something like that, but she presented it to her, and clearly she ate it up, and clearly it was a hit.
Right.
And so, I guess, obviously know what you want to do and who you want to pitch it to and target them. And don't be afraid to take risks with it. You know what I mean? Like, just be like, okay, I know you may not have done this sound before.
Mm-hmm.
But try it out.
Yeah.
Who would you produce for? Who would you want to produce for it right now if you could? If you were the producer that I know you'd be behind closed doors. I'm joking. People if about I to be hitting to you up for beats.
Right? No, that's a great question. If I wanted to ever produce for someone, I would probably... I'm crazy because I would literally want to do G-Unit.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like if I could make some hardcore, like, gangsta beats mixed with, like, I'm really ridiculous.
That's
between
a tall
that and
order.
Tribe, yeah, I'm horrible.
What the hell? I thought you were going to say somebody like, I don't know, Bobby Smyrna. What's the little boy, Tory Lanez?
Oh, no.
Like, what the hell?
Because you can hear, the thing is that you can hear, I guess because I listen to them so much that I can know their sound.
Yeah.
So I could probably make something toward them. But I can't, for these other rappers, I don't really know.
That's great. Are you looking at me like to see what I would do? Oh, I mean, you gotta tell the people. I didn't
know. Sorry, people. Mark, what would you do?
I mean, I'm not gonna do rap.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I could produce some stuff.
I'd be upset.
Okay. I would want to produce for Brandy. I think that she is a chameleon. She's proven that she's done stuff with Robert Glasper. She's done stuff famously with both Timberland and Rodney Jerkins. She's worked with just a number of people. But yeah, I would do Brandy. I feel like she definitely needs something fresh. I love what she did with Begging and Pleading, but I actually want to bring it even probably a little more current and see what she can do with it, because I'm pretty sure she would just destroy everything.
Kill.
So that would be me.
Yeah, Brandy, that's a tall order. You talk about me.
Yeah, I mean, well, G-Unit in particular, I feel like I can give Brandy something simple. I don't think you can give G-Unit something simple.
Well,
because Brandy is the voice. Like, Brandy is
true.
The instrument. With G-Unit, you're going to have to do some backflips.
I don't think so.
I think you will. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see over time how production changes, who comes up, whether people will still stick to the musical part of it and not just look to put some sounds together.
Yeah, we need to... I think in this generation, though, they're drawing so much to the tags, like I said. I have a whole list of tags, guys, and I was thinking about talking about them, but it's too long, so I'm going to have to just post it on the social media. Y'all gonna have to vote on it. Maybe we could do something like that.
Yeah, it's another vote. Because this one, I'm joking. That's all I have for right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Tune in next time for Passing the Ox podcast.
It's a wrap.
Bye-bye. Bye.